I sent them down before, I guess around last April, so I just put a box, and, but they will be down there. It was all in Central Fires, Rodney Campbell. General speeches.
You're still upstairs in room 550 something, or
wow. Anyway.
Well.
Good.
To go right ahead then, if you're pushing
sure.
your time. What we're trying to do is just to briefly outline your work on the White House staff.
Right.
And in doing this, we're hoping to pinpoint some areas which people may want to talk about in more depth in a
mm-hmm.
future oral history project, probably
mm-hmm.
after the president leaves office,
mm-hmm.
either areas that you have particular interest in or things which you feel would not be well documented in the files. So actually, I know very little about what you've done here. When did you join the White House staff?
When did we go on?
Oh, I'm sorry. I turned it on just 1 second ago when I started talking to you.
Okay, fine. We're on now, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I joined June 12, 1972.
Okay. And your title that entire time has been Deputy Special Assistant
President. Right.
President.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you tell me how you were recruited for the staff?
Yes, I was asked to join by Ray Price, who was then the head of the editorial department.
Mm-hmm. Had you known him before, or?
I knew of him, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't actually then come and apply or express an interest to join the staff?
No, they came.
Okay. Well, were you recruited to fill any particular gap on the speechwriter's staff or to, in other words, what was your designated role before you came? Very often that's quite different from what you actually end up doing when you come to the White House, since people very often make the jobs.
I think it was just to join the staff.
Mm-hmm. Then what you're saying is that most of the people on the speechwriter's staff, of the writers, are generalists in that sense and not meant to.
You'd have to ask him that. You know, some were specialists and some were generalists. But I just came on board. You know.
Mm-hmm. What had been your background?
Before that, I'd done political editing work for the governor of New York.
Okay. Could you describe what your areas of responsibility have been since you've been on the staff?
Pretty much a general assignment man, which you know, whatever Ray wanted done, or Dave Gergen took over in I think it was around February or something like that. I forget the exact date, and so I was doing more or less work on assignment from Ray and also from Dave when Dave took over.
And this involved all drafting for the president or other members of the staff?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you work more in the way of, on speeches or messages or?
It was really whatever came up. It was in my opinion, a very efficient news operation, just as a magazine would be or a newspaper would be. And Ray was an excellent department head, and Dave also.
Mm-hmm.
And there were ten, might have been a little bit more, because Pat Buchanan's operation was separate, and there were two of them. And but anyway, of the 10 people in the main thing, we just did whatever we were assigned to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's no particular leading function.
Did you end up working more on areas of domestic concern or foreign policy?
Mainly domestic concern. Mm.
And was there any particular emphasis within that? Concentrate on any particular issues?
No. Both Ray and Dave kind of thought that it was better if everybody handled all kinds of assignments from different areas. And
When you did receive an assignment, how much guidance were you given on, first of all, what, if it were a speech, what was to be said in the way of subject matter? Or did you have more of a free hand in developing it from the very raw?
No. It was always kind of very much a departmental operation.
And what do you mean by that? Could you just maybe describe the steps that one would go through in developing a piece for the president?
Well, you know, it's just like any other newspaper or magazine. You obviously, your editor kind of talks about the project and how he sees it, and briefs you.
Were you responsible for going out and doing the background research yourself?
No, there's another department here on that. Let's see, I think it's called the research department, and there are, I think, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there are about four researchers, and but again, this is a, you know, part of the professional magazine type operation. The researcher would be assigned to the project at the same time that that the writer would be assigned to it, which is very much the way things were done at Time, for example. And in fact, the head researcher at one point, she had been a senior researcher at Time, and she set up the operation kind of just like that, so that the researcher would more or less be assigned to the thing as soon as the writer was. And so they'd work on things together. The writer might have some things he wanted, and you know, and she would generally get it, or sometimes the writer might get it himself. But at the end of the procedure, kind of the research operation would again become very important, because then they would kind of check for the overall accuracy of the thing. And in fact, they had a system of I think any overt fact, a statistic or a name or capitalized spelling, I think they had to mark an OK over it if they'd found a checking source for it. Mm-hmm. And so, I'd say this is part of the overall professionalism of the whole operation, that great care was taken over the accuracy of the material. And in fact, I think there was hardly a single complaint of any wrong fact during this whole period.
Did you do more work which was for the president or for other members of the administration?
It varied, but some for the president and some for other members of the administration.
When you were working for the president, did you have any direct contact with him?
Personally, no. No. As I said before. What's your name again?
Susan.
As I said before, the whole thing was departmentalized, and so the department head, Ray, and then after that, Dave, would make any contact that, you know, that was necessary with the originating authority.
When you were assigned to work on a particular piece, would someone else on the staff also be given the assignment and then get together as a team to put that together, or was it usually?
Hardly ever, no. No, that kind of arrangement can be counterproductive, as you can imagine.
I'm sure.
And sometimes, you know, people try that, but it wasn't done here, which is one reason why I think the effort was good.
Well, then you probably did not work with the other writers than Mr. Price or Mr. Gert.
Not at all, no.
What about working with other people on the White House staff? Did you have frequent contact with
because the research the researchers would do that, and they would produce the information, and so they would have the direct contact.
Right. And the same thing would be true of people in other departments. And you were in agencies? Were you just kind of independent over here and did not go out and
No, we had nothing to do with the other agencies.
Were there any other assignments that you received other than writing assignments?
No.
And all of your drafts were kept in your files in each stage?
Right, in each stage. And this was this was interesting too, because you can gradually see the the process by which a manuscript is develops and almost always is improved, you know, through the editing process. And the president himself is very good with words, and frequently, you know, made changes and style points and corrections, and I'm sure all these are kept. You see, often after the draft would leave our level, then it would go up to Ray's level or Dave's level, and then the same manuscript would go through lots of other kind of stages before it was finally delivered.
Was there ever an opportunity when you made suggestions on what types of things should be said, or that noted the need for a presidential message on a certain topic? Or
No. It always came down from the top.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like a vertical structure.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are you going when you leave?
Well, I don't. I just carry on being an editorial consultant in one form or another.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know where.
Not exactly, no.
Okay. Were there any particular areas that you worked in here that gave you satisfaction?
The whole thing did. The whole thing did.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular areas that you feel should be talked about in future Nixon Oral History Project? Again, if your speech drafts may be in the files,
yeah.
But if there are...
I think it depends what the historians are looking for, you know. And then they can decide. They have, I think one of the great virtues of a very large archive is that it is kind of objective, and it's an objective source in itself, and the historians can go and find what they want to find.
Was there any substantive change in even the operation of the speechwriter staff when Mr. Price left as far as...
No, I don't think so, because Ray and Dave have been working together for a long time before that, and they're good friends, and so I think it just more or less followed on. Well, there is some interesting detail here. I think... Ray went on to, I think he was given a larger title, and then he went on to more or less be removed from departmental responsibilities, and then he had his own office, and I think just wrote major speeches and was developing issues, I think, for the president. And so he'd be a very interesting person to talk to if you're developing this project, because I think he was he was always interested in trying to get away a little from the from the inevitable kind of deluge of things that we had to handle all the time, and he just wanted to sit back and think and develop major concepts and major issues, which I'm sure he's very capable of. I'm sure that it was he's probably doing some of that right now.
Again, on the lines of organization, mm-hmm. You mentioned that Mr. Buchanan's staff was separate,
right.
Somewhat separate.
Yeah,
what was the relationship between the two staffs?
No. It was completely independent. Pat had his own chain of command. I'm not quite sure who he was reporting to, but in the final analysis to the president, just as Ray was, Pat wasn't involved with our operation.
Did you find that there were any overlapping responsibilities between the two operations?
None obtruded upon anything I was doing.
Do you know, first of all, let me ask you, for the record, who was your secretary when you were here?
Jean Healy, yeah. And she was an absolutely superb, superb girl.
So she
was... She went back to Oregon, and she's a teacher now, and I'm not sure whether it's the Portland City School, so it might even be Eugene, the Eugene Schools, I don't know, but she's a graduate and absolutely first class, and is obviously going to go a lot higher than the secretary's job.
And you had no other staff assistants or anyone under
you?
No. So she would be the only person who would be really familiar with your daily operations.
Right.
Do you have a permanent address?
Yes. It's in New York, 440 East 62nd Street. New York, New York. 10021.
Did you ever do any traveling yourself or speaking?
No, it was all done.
And did you ever in print have any statements concerning the administration?
No.
Did you ghost things for people in the administration for magazine articles and things such as that?
The whole thing was kind of really it was departmentalized. I'm trying to remember any specific occasion. No, I don't think there's anything specific. No, this was part of the thing. You know, there were lots of them, but I can't kind of remember for whom and for what. You know, it's happening now all the time. I mean, the people who are staying on are doing all Jerry Ford stuff, and you know, it's the name of the game. You know, people say, isn't it too bad that they don't write their own speeches? Well, how can they? You know, they don't have the time. Yeah. You know, when is Ford going to have time to sit down and write major articles or speeches? So it has to be done like this. And I think one of Ray's great contributions is that he did professionalize it. He had worked on the Herald Tribune, the New York Herald Tribune, and he'd been I think he was the editor of their editorial page and had handled major editorial operations before. And I think before Ray, this thing was set up pretty well as more as a group of independent writers. You know, who just I think this is the change that the historians will look for. And then it in effect became a news department.
As it developed into this news department role, did you have any direct connections with Herbert Klein or his staff before the...
And the change happened before I came. You know, I think Ray took over in, around 1970, something like that, but well before I came. Klein's office was, in effect, the public relations office. You know, again, in a magazine setup, he would have been an adjunct of the publisher's staff, not an adjunct of the editor's staff. Mm-hmm. You know, we met him, of course. He's a delightful fellow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you ever do any work for people outside the executive office of the president?
No.
Of course, if you're for any, say, during the campaign, for any of the service?
No. It was all done through. It was all done through here. Some of the stuff might have come out from Ray's thing to the surrogates, but that was all done through the department.
Well, the only other thing I might ask you is if you have a biographical sketch, would you want to just add to our file or a resume?
Personal has
any
it.
Kind
yeah,
of
personal has it. You're welcome.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably about all of it.
Well, thank you very much for your time and trouble.
Okay, well, thank you.